A woman wakes up on the floor of a halfway house after years of crippling depression and suddenly realizes something radical. Her suffering wasn't caused by her circumstances, her past, or the people around her. It came from believing her thoughts about them. This moment of clarity sparked a method so simple yet profound that it would eventually reach corporate boardrooms, prison cells, therapy offices, and living rooms across the globe. The approach requires no spiritual background, no years of training, no special equipment, just 4 questions and a willingness to be honest with yourself. What makes this process revolutionary isn't complexity, but accessibility. Anyone can question their most painful beliefs and discover what's actually true beneath the mental noise. The entire method rests on 4 deceptively simple questions you can apply to any stressful thought. First, is it true? Just a yes or no. Second, can you absolutely know that it's true? This digs deeper, challenging the certainty we cling to. Third, how do you react when you believe that thought? Notice what happens in your body, your relationships, your daily life when this belief runs the show. Fourth, who would you be without the thought? Imagine your life minus this particular belief, not changing your circumstances, just removing this one thought from your mental landscape. After exploring these questions, you flip the original thought around to consider opposite perspectives. If you started with, "My boss doesn't respect me," you would explore, "I don't respect my boss," "I don't respect myself," and even, "My boss does respect me." For each reversal, you find 3 genuine examples of how it might be equally or more true than your original belief. This isn't about replacing negative thoughts with positive affirmations. It's about discovering what's genuinely true for you when you look honestly at your experience. The power lies not in believing something new, but in questioning what you've believed all along without examination. Every time you think, "This shouldn't be happening," you're at war with reality. Stuck in traffic, fuming the line should move faster, angry your partner should text back immediately. Reality remains unchanged by these protests, yet we exhaust ourselves fighting what already is. This isn't about passivity. It's about addressing problems from clarity instead of confusion. "I lost my job. What can I do now?" opens possibilities. "I shouldn't have lost my job" keeps you spinning in opposition to what's already happened. There are 3 kinds of business: yours, mine, and reality's. When you think you should call your mother more, you've entered someone else's business. When you worry about earthquakes or aging, you've jumped into reality's business. Being mentally out of your own business creates separation and loneliness. Someone doesn't return your call, and within seconds you've constructed an entire narrative. They're angry, deliberately ignoring you, you must have offended them. These stories feel so real, we forget their interpretations, not facts. Consider the woman who created an elaborate story about a rude man who left the toilet seat wet in a restaurant bathroom. When she flushed, she discovered the toilet was malfunctioning. The wet seat had nothing to do with another person. Without investigation, small stories breed bigger ones. Stress comes not from external circumstances, but from believing uninvestigated interpretations about those circumstances. Self-realization demands action. After discovering through inquiry how you've projected issues onto others, practice living amends, concrete behavioral change beyond verbal apologies. Take full responsibility for your part without mentioning others' wrongdoings. If inquiry revealed, "I lied to him," examine subtle dishonesty through omission, exaggeration, or failing to speak your truth. One former addict listed everyone he'd stolen from and went door to door making amends. Instead of arrest, people responded with grace, asking him to fix cars or paint houses. Each task became healing, connection, and restored dignity. Living amends requires daily vigilance when judgmental thoughts arise. Rather than criticizing your spouse for being disorganized, pause to recognize times you've created chaos. Identify stories through systematic inquiry. If you believe, "My husband doesn't listen to me," examine whether this is absolutely true. Can you know what's happening in another's mind? How do you react believing this? Who would you be without it? Through honest investigation, you might discover he sometimes listens intently, that you don't always listen either, and that this belief makes you angry and less communicative. When you understand your judgments reflect your thinking patterns rather than objective reality, you approach people with genuine curiosity instead of expectations. Gary's frustration with employee Frank dissolved when inquiry revealed his rigid belief that Frank should be competent. This belief made him turn into a tough guy, damaging their relationship and productivity. Through reversals, Gary saw he should take responsibility for both roles if he wanted quality work, shifting from blame to ownership. He began viewing Frank as his teacher, someone elevating him to the highest level of competence by challenging his leadership assumptions. When Marty blamed his uncle Ralph for bad stock tips, inquiry revealed he gave himself the bad tips by accepting them without due diligence. Focusing on Ralph prevented him from taking responsibility for his financial decisions. These examples show how inquiry transforms workplace challenges into growth opportunities. When team members question stressful thoughts about projects, deadlines, and colleagues, they create collaborative environments where accountability replaces blame and clarity replaces confusion. Inquiry transforms our deepest fears: death, illness, trauma, and loss. When someone feared death, inquiry revealed that without the thought, there is no death. Just as without thought of your foot, there is no foot. Life becomes beautiful without "I can't accept death." People who know there's no hope are free, which is why they smile on deathbeds. The delusion of control is over. After September 11, Emily, a New York resident gripped by subway attack fears, discovered through inquiry that she was the only terrorist present, frightening herself with thoughts about what might happen. She realized the impossibility of outsmarting reality and found profound relief in accepting there is no plan to have. This perspective doesn't advocate passivity. It means responding from clarity instead of panic. When we're not consumed by catastrophic thinking, we can take reasonable precautions without constant fear. By questioning our thoughts systematically, we end the cycle of fear that begins in our own thinking. With practice, this inquiry becomes second nature. Your mind begins noticing and questioning stressful thoughts before suffering takes hold, transforming you into what's called a lover of what is. This doesn't mean becoming passive. People often become more effective when they stop arguing with reality and start working with it. The ultimate gift is freedom. Freedom from unquestioned thoughts, from suffering over what can't be changed, and to respond from clarity rather than confusion. This freedom is practiced moment by moment as you meet each thought with understanding. When we stop opposing reality, action becomes simple, fluid, kind, and fearless. This approach offers radical peace, accepting what is, not achieving it. Not passive acceptance, but clear-eyed recognition of reality as your starting point. The war with reality is unwinnable. Your thoughts aren't enemies. They're uninvestigated stories awaiting honest attention. Question them. Turn them around. Discover what's true. Watch the self-made prison dissolve, leaving you free to meet life exactly as it is.